Blog Talk Radio.
Paul was always a fuck-up, even back when we were kids in summer camp. Remember, he used to wet his bed and get into confrontations with everybody. Eventually, he got kicked out of our cabin and banished to some empty bunk all by himself. Was banned from activities, too. Pretty much the whole camp hated him. Didn't see him for a couple years after that, until high school. Freshman year, first day after school, ran into him outside as we waited on different buses. I went up and said hello, but he snubbed me, acted like he didn't know me. Never saw him around school after that. A few years later, I heard from a friend that Paul had lost a couple teeth in a fist fight outside an all-night diner. He'd called my friend from a payphone at 3 a.m., sobbing and talking about how he'd punched out a window in the diner and that the cops were coming and that he wanted to die. Most recently, I heard he'd been robbed at gunpoint by a mutual acquaintance. Not only was a pound of his hash stolen, but he'd been pistol-whipped and tormented for half an hour or so. Supposedly, he'd shitted his pants. Everyone around Miami was talking about it and calling him Pampers. After that, he had a nervous breakdown, became a hippie, and moved out to San Francisco. Apparently out there, him and some friends were planning to pool together to buy an old Ferrari so they could drive it up and down the hills. Wonder how that's working out for him.
Fred Williamson. Jim Kelly. They've done it before on their own, but this one's too big to handle alone.
You know, man, you come to town, I know there's gonna be trouble.
Brown, Williamson, Kelly, the big three, together for the first time, they do it their way.
Three the hard way, three cities and three of us.
My troubles are almost over.
Gonna kill us all.
You see, we have a scientific institution here.
They found a way. Only us. Nobody else.
The ultimate purpose is a cleansing, purification of the races.
You gotta stop.
Here, brother, I'm ready.
It's just me and Wonder Wash, baby.
When the three of them get through with you,
what makes you think the three of them will survive the next 24 hours?
Coming at you.
Yes.
You asked me to secure a place for you in history.
One of the things that must become obvious to anyone listening to the new music is that in order to literally hear what's going on, the audience has to be very aware in terms of musical lines and rhythmic lines. It's not easy listening, but we're glad you're out to make the effort. Yeah.
too much skunk tonight. Too much skunk tonight. That was Birdie Nom Nom with Too Much Skunk Tonight. Yeah. Fucking A, man. I love that track. Really love that track. Of course, Birdie Nom Nom has been making several appearances right here on the Draconian Vampire Tunnel East Coast Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. And with me tonight is residential chief meth lab operator, Nuwamba Flamingo. Nuwamba, what's up, man?
Yeah, what's up, man? Just a bit hungover, a bit weeded over. Just jumping off that dope track you were just busting, dude. That was pretty hype.
That shit was ill, wasn't it?
Yeah, I like that.
Love Birdie Nom Nom, of course. Shit, man, I don't know, like, what else to say about those guys. You put four DJs together like that, and it just comes out like magic.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking cool.
I was going to say, I actually, at the top of the show, we heard a little bit from Nuwamba. I really dug that piece, man. That was fucking dope.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, you know, that's actually a true story. That's a true story about this guy I know back from Miami, and just, you know, he's always a fucking idiot. And, yeah, man, you know, I guess things just kind of came to bite him in the ass. But also, you kind of feel sorry for him because he always had it a bit rough. So nobody ever really liked him. So, you know, kind of cause and effect, I guess.
Yeah. I knew a kid like that in school. His name was Jeremiah Feather. And he would, like, walk around all the time. And, like, whenever he would walk down the hallway, everybody would sing Jeremiah Was a Bullfrog. I think that's, like, Three Dog Night or some shit like that. He used to hate that song.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying. Fucking annoying, but yeah, it's fucked up. Kids are fucked up.
Yeah.
Just some fucked up motherfuckers, aren't they?
Yeah. I think Homeboy turned out to be a cross-dresser. I'm going to be honest with you. I think he did.
Mm.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not.
I enjoy a little cross-dressing myself every so often.
Well, yeah, I understand that, but it's hard to do that in a small place like South Central Kentucky. It's hard to cross-dress.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be a rough place for a cross-dresser. I mean, it's one thing if you're in, like, Miami or San Francisco or New Orleans or L.A., one of these places. You can just do that, and nobody will look at you, you know, twice. But Kentucky, man, fuck. It's got to be a rough place.
Yeah, fuck Kentucky. Fuck Kentucky. I can think of a lot of better places to be, and, of course, right now, there are very few members at the Zyfez compound of the Literary Underground, right there in Oakland, California, or Berkeley, or San Francisco. It's in the Bay Area, and they're right there actually attending the Beast Crawl. Nuwamba, man, I'm fucking itching to go, bro. Fucking itching to go. I'm ready.
Yeah, dude, I fucking wish I could be there, too. It's just going to be awesome. I got an email about it today from Michelle McDonald, and just, like, the descriptions of what you guys are going to be doing and the writers who are going to be there. Man, it's just going to be kick-ass.
I cannot wait. Of course, if you guys are in the Bay Area tomorrow, there's actually I think tomorrow there is a barbecue at Paul Corman Roberts' house. Paul Corman Roberts, Project U Radio, in the Oakland area. So if you're in that neck of the woods and you happen to know how to get in touch with him, hey, stop on by and tell him I said what's up. And I'll see you motherfuckers sometime tomorrow night. And I hope you're listening. Shit, dude, I got some songs to play tonight. I think me and you should just kick back, maybe like throw a little Meth Lab remix into the show. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I'm down with that. I got another piece or two to read, and I want to hear you read a couple things. I want to hear some more tracks, too. So,
all right.
Let's just bust this shit. Let's get down.
All right, let's do this. I'm going to go into the next one. This is Prince Buster. Mr. Buster, to you, Buster. The song called Madness, right here on Draconian Vampire Tunnel, is closed for your repairs. Number to call in, of course, 805-856-2808.
Madness, madness, they call it. is madness. 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 We call it madness. It's plain to see that is what they mean to me. Madness. Madness. I call it madness. 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 We call it madness. I'm about to explain that someone is using his brain. Madness. Madness. We call it madness.
Electronic music and a lot of heavy metal.
Yeah.
And different types of rock. I listen to a lot of rock. Different
nice.
Types of rock. So I like pretty much everything, a little bit of everything, but mostly I listen to electronic music, hardcore hip hop, and different types of rock, especially heavy metal.
Oh.
Metallica, shit like that.
You're
what
in
about you, man?
Oh man. I'm gonna pretend you didn't say that. That's all right.
Well, Metallica? You don't like Metallica? Fuck.
Dude, they ruined Napster.
Old Metallica.
They ruined Napster.
Old Metallica.
Oh, okay.
Old Metallica.
Okay.
Old Metallica. I'm talking about. Yeah, that's true. I should make that distinction. Like, old Metallica, fucking early 80s Cliff Burton shit. That's what I'm talking about, dude. Early Metallica.
Yeah. Did you give me that 20? Yeah. Sorry, man. I was in the middle of business during that song, actually. Yes.
What type of business would that be?
It just transaction.
What kind of transaction? What kind of transaction would that be?
It's a transaction. You did give me that 20, actually. You did. You're good, actually. No, you're good. Sorry. All right. So, Wamba. Take it easy, bro. Nuwamba?
Yo.
Do you happen to have another one that you can throw at us?
Yeah, actually, you know what? I'm going to throw out the companion piece to the other one I just read. It's also based on a true story. It's called Hot Dog Bitch. When I was 15, my friend and I ran into this really hot girl on the street. My friend sort of knew her, but I didn't. A couple days later, he called and told me she wanted my phone number,
So I gave it to him, and he gave it to her. We started talking. She lived down the street. We started seeing each other, going over to whomever's house was parent-free. We'd smoke weed and make out and fuck. She had amazing tits. I quickly fell in love with her. She really was beautiful. Looked sort of like Angelina Jolie, even though her teeth were kind of rotted from bulimia and she had a pacemaker because of some sort of heart defect, she was still so hot. However, I wasn't her only admirer. Found out she'd been with almost every other guy in the greater Miami-Dade area. Same routine, too. Smoking weed with them and fucking. I was hurt, but I was still in love. I called her and told her I loved her. I told her I wanted her to be my girlfriend. She turned me down, though, saying how she'd just gotten out of a relationship and only wanted to be friends right now. We saw each other less and less after that. I heard she had HIV but didn't believe it. Then I found out that she'd been at some party and these crackheads she hung out with had tied her up in front of everyone, like 50 people, stripped her naked and poured maple syrup over her and licked it off her. They'd also fucked her with hot dogs and she moaned and squirmed and apparently enjoyed the experience. She became known around town as the hot dog bitch. I laughed upon hearing the whole tale and joked about it with friends. But underneath, behind my smile, it really burned me up thinking of her on that table at that party. I couldn't bring myself to return her phone calls anymore or even say hello to her when I saw her in the neighborhood. 15 years later, she found me on Facebook and wanted to be friends. In her request message, she said that through the fog of adolescence and drugs, she couldn't remember why we stopped talking, but that she remembered really liking me. I lied. Told her I couldn't remember why we stopped talking either. I accepted the request, and every so often we chat online, usually about politics or traveling. She lives far away and has become a wine enthusiast and a vegetarian. She reads lots of books. She's got a husband and two young kids. But as long ago as that was, and as much as she's grown, I still can't help but think of only one thing when I see her profile pic. And that's all with that piece.
Wow. Wow. Shit. How do you follow that? Like, what was the inspiration behind that, man? Like, where did you find it? I love that question. I hear that question sometimes on radio shows, and you know, I like that question. It's a very, very. It's a generalized question, but it's still a good one, I think. What was the inspiration behind that piece, sir?
Actually, it's based on a true story. Some of that in there is true. There was a girl that I knew who I used to have sexual encounters with mm-hmm. when I was a teenager. And she actually did get fucked with hot dogs at a party by some crackheads.
Oh,
and
shit.
I had heard about it. And, you know, I was never very serious with her. There is some, you know, embellishment in there. There is some stuff in there for dramatic purposes. However, I was disturbed by this. I was disturbed about hearing that because I didn't like her, you know? And mm-hmm. she was a very nice person, somebody who I enjoyed the company of. And, yeah, you know, when you hear something like, if you hear that about somebody you don't really know, I guess it strikes you differently than it does when it's somebody you know of it. And so, yeah, man, I was kind of disturbed by it. And then she actually did get in touch with me later on Facebook and, you know, yeah, she's like a totally different person now, but still, like, you know, I just can't help but think of that incident. And, you know, even though it was a long time ago, it's still, you know, it's all I can think about when it's back. I can't help it. I just can't. So, yeah, man, you know, like growing up in Miami, and there's a lot of crazy shit that happens there. And, you know, I just wrote a couple pieces about it just last night. And, yeah, man, you know, it's just good to kind of get some of that stuff out.
Word. Well, you know
true
what?
Story.
It's a true story. So sounds to me like it casts a shadow over your life, which you turned into a creative outlet, and I can appreciate the fuck out of that. I'll tell you someday, I'll tell you the story about the girl I knew named Ashley in Kentucky and cattails. I'm not talking about cattails like literal cat, feline cats. I'm talking like cattails like the plant. So, yeah.
Okay.
I'll tell you a story about that someday.
I would like to hear that story. I would like to hear that.
Well, we'll save that for a meth lab show, maybe, I think. I think we'll do that.
I think that would fit perfectly with the meth lab show.
I think so, yeah. Fucking A, man. It's perfect material. Right now, though, you know what? I think it's time for a little Shadow. This is General Midi. The song is called Shadow, right here. Draconian Vampire Tunnel is closed to repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro A. We'll be right back.
Solons were the retarded intergalactic transmission from a David Wallace foster child in Appalachia, an inbred stepchild, twisted and easily forgotten about except for the muffled moans you thought you could hear coming from the basement. They were rivers of brown, always without apostrophes.
Project U Newsfeed for July 3rd and the 4th of 2012. Happy Independence Day. Brought to you by the Literary Underground, of course. You guys can go to www.theliteraryunderground.org for all your draconian vampire information, as well as information on your mother's medicine cabinet and Project U Radio. Today's newsfeed, of course, is about Red Fez, issue number 48, due out July 13th. Slightly after the Zyfez Beast Crawl Alliance. It's like that's what I'll call it. Yeah, it's good shit. And it's due out July 13th. That one's going to be a bomb, I can already tell you. Really good stuff in that one coming up. Already looking spectacular. It's Friday? That's pretty much it. For the news feed today, I think. Besides the fact that you guys should go to the Beast Crawl, I don't know how many times I can say that. Go to the Beast Crawl. Go to the Beast Crawl. It's like going on like right now. Go to the Beast Crawl. Go. What are you doing? You're still sitting there. Iwamba, what did you think of General Mitty Shadow, sir?
I fucking love the baseline.
Yeah, that shit's dope, right?
Kind of. God damn, that shit just gets me every time. Like every time I hear that, like. It was kind of bass line, especially when it's funky that, like, my ear just has an orgasm.
Yeah.
My ear just wants to smoke a cigarette right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like sexual intercourse with my ear. It's great.
Right, be careful, man. Just be careful.
Yeah, well, you know, I have some little fuzzy things on my earphones, so hopefully that'll act as like a condom. I can catch like any kind of diseases off that, you know?
You won't catch any virtual venereal diseases or anything like that? Or?
Yeah, I hope not, man. If there's like a drip coming from my ear tomorrow, I'm going to fucking blame you for it.
Oh, shit. All right.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
Yeah. Well, that happens when you have sex with donkeys. I mean, supposedly. I don't know.
Yeah. Or Asian hookers, you know?
Yeah.
That shit will fuck you up too, man. Blame me.
Shit, man, I actually got something here. We're talking about throwing a little Meth Lab remix into this, and I've got a little something here. It's a little flash fiction piece. I'll go ahead and read it. The way my teeth chattered gave me the impression I had rickets in my knees. Sitting in the top bleachers at my little brother's graduation, gacked on four monster rails of meth from earlier, I see my parents for, I don't know, maybe 3 months at that point. I sat in the bottom row, and it would be 7 years to the day before we'd speak again. Okay. That is actually...
is that really interesting? Shit.
Well, not the 7 years part, but, yeah. The other part, I think.
Meth? You've done meth, right?
Yeah, I used to. I dabbled with it a little bit. When I was younger, when I was like 19, I dabbled with it a little. I don't like it, man. It's not my thing. It's not my scene.
Yeah, man, me neither. You know, I only did it a couple times, but each time I did it, I was just like up for way too long. It just wasn't really that pleasurable. I did have some pretty cool hallucinations, but other than that, it just was pretty fucked up. I didn't enjoy it as much as other stimulants.
No, I agree. It puts you in a dark hole, man. And speaking of dark holes, I'm going to go ahead and jump right into our next track. And then, actually, I was hoping you were going to find something else that you could share with us. Yeah, that one. All right, cool. This next one is Agent Orange. It's called Living in Darkness. I will go ahead and say we got about 26 minutes left of live streaming. Number to call in, of course, if you'd like to share something or, you know, if you want to be a prank caller. We had a bunch of those the other week. Just be a good one. 805-856-2808. This is Agent Orange, Living in Darkness. We'll be right back.
Every 3 seconds.
Okay. Hey, Bob, it's open.
Let's kick it in anyway.
Yeah, and wake up the whole neighborhood, right? Get out of the way, meathead. You other guys stay close. Hey, they must be in the back. Hey, I don't like it, boss. It's dark in here.
No shit, nigga. Where you from, Harvard?
What's that? God damn it, the next one speaks deals with me. Who the fuck hit me?
Batman, motherfucker.
What in the hell? It's Jones. Spread out. Spread out. I got him. Hold that nigga. Get it, boys. My jaw's broken. I'm getting out. I'm getting out. I'm behind you, boss. Me too. Wait, man. Wait.
my tits in the ladies' room, porn star lesbian, secret vibrator keychain, panties on the floor, hot mouth, skilled fingers, incognito lipstick vibe, uses me like a man, discreet massager, strip club dance contest, dressing room antics, he thinks to himself in bed alone, one hand on his cock.
That was the Black Angels with Black Grease. A little bit of rock there for you, Nuwamba, you know? Threw a little bit of that in there for you, though.
Yeah, that shit was pretty dope.
You dug that one, right?
Yeah, I was digging on that last track a lot.
Yeah, man, I fucking heard that shit. Like, I'm not even gonna lie, I heard that shit, like, listening to some Iggy Pop and, like, and then, like, I saw a suggestion for that, and I was like, ah, interesting. Checked it out. It's fucking dope, man. They got some cool shit. They actually did this thing called, it's like, they named the song after Syd Barrett, and it's, like, straight up, like, real Pink Floyd, but it's, I don't know, man. It's, like, it's beyond that. It's fucking dope, so you should check that out.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, that was a cool read by Panifesto as well.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, kind of like that, man. That was pretty ill. That shit.
Yeah, tunnel voices, man. They come from, like, all angles, all shades, all shadows, all that stuff, man. It's great shit.
Yeah, I could really relate to that poem.
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, I can. Good piece, though. Really good piece.
Oh, yeah. Well, speaking of how you relate to poems, sir, perhaps you have another selection for us.
I got one. It's not a poem. It's kind of flash fiction. I did it about 2 years ago, and it was on my old MySpace blog and got published in Ronin Press, so I'm floating around online. So I never read it, but I'll give it a shot here. It's called Amputee. He attended an all-boys Catholic school from kindergarten through 12th grade. At around age 9, Father Ryan, a short, bow-legged, freckly Irishman with a nervous twitch in his right shoulder, started pulling him aside after math class into a back room where he'd fondled the boy's genitals as he jerked himself off underneath his long black robe. The boy never told anyone. And after a couple months of these encounters, Father Ryan abruptly disappeared. When the boy turned 12, he began having fantasies about the opposite sex, but found himself unable to achieve orgasm by masturbation. Instead, he'd simulate intercourse with his pillow, cuddling up to it in the middle of the night, kissing it and rubbing his penis against it, usually imagining the pillow to be the wee down named Marlene, who lived next door. One drizzly Sunday afternoon following church, his mother walked in on him having sex with the pillow. The fact that the pillow had a bra he'd stolen from her dresser strapped to it only made matters worse. Upon witnessing the scene, his mother shrieked loudly, grabbed one of his belts off the floor, and beat him violently with it. Then she snatched the pillow off his blue NASCAR bed, stormed out of the room, and never once spoke to him about the incident. With his pillow gone, he turned to having sexual relations with other objects, such as fruit. He'd steal cantaloupes, poke a hole in them, stick his penis inside, and fuck them. Sometimes, while spying on Marlene from his window, he also tried anally penetrating the family cat, but his anus was too small for his penis to enter. The cat hissed and scratched him on his second anal penetration attempt and would later always scamper away in terror at the mere sight of him. As a teenager, he never fucked with girls. He thought about Marlene daily but never could summon the courage to approach her. A sudden, debilitating fear overtook him whenever he even got close to any female, let alone speak to one. Plus, being at an all-boys school didn't provide many opportunities to mingle with the fairer sex. Secretly, he wished women were as easy in real life as they were in TV and movies, but grew to accept that they seemed to be better in fantasy than reality.
Following a brief stint at community college, he got a job and moved into a one-bedroom apartment by himself and was delighted to be able to have pillows again. His mother had removed and never replaced the pillows in his room following that day. He was also able to have his own computer and internet access for the first time and was soon surfing the web daily, exploring such subjects as sexual voyeur sites, upskirt pics and snuff films. But he really found his niche in amputee fetish, or acrotomophilia, as it is known medically. For hours upon hours, he'd watch video of men with large penises engaging in sexual intercourse with women missing legs or arms, and would often place his laptop on his bed in front of his pillow with a melon underneath the pillow, fucking the melon wildly as he streamed video of amputees or stared at their pictures. Soon enough, though, he wanted more and decided to purchase a realistic humanoid sex doll online. When he received it, he sawed off its arms with a hacksaw and named it Marlene. He spent hours sitting with it, kissing and hugging it and fucking its synthetic vagina until his penis burned raw. He had intimate, personal conversations with his Marlene and got to know her in a way he'd never known anyone else. She became the most beautiful thing he'd seen in his life, and he swore she had a halo hovering above her head in the morning when slivers of sun shot through the Venetian blinds in his bedroom where they slept together in his single bed. But it still wasn't God. He began to feel unequal to Marlene, disgusted at himself, and unworthy of her presence. In addition, every night he was plagued by horrible nightmares about hands and arms. Hands and arms would appear from nowhere, break through walls, poking, punching, and clawing at him. And any time he looked at his own hands and arms, he started to feel a pain, embarrassment, seething hatred, and shame erupting from the deepest dimensions of his soul. One night, while watching an internet video from a rack of a black-veiled woman being executed in a ravine via machine gun fire, he received a telepathic message from one of the corpses, taunting him, telling him he'd never achieve the angelic innocence and cosmic purity that he saw in his eyes. The next day, after work, during a particularly violent thunderstorm, he brought home a bouquet of rain-soaked roses, placed them in Marlene's lap, pulled out a small power saw from his closet, fired it up, and, still wearing his three-piece suit from the office, buried the humming saw into his right upper arm next to the deltoid, quickly cutting through the bone. The pain was immense. Blood spurted, splattered, and eventually gushed out as the arm fell to the hardwood floor with a loud thud. Seeing the limb had been severed, he turned off the saw and sat down on the red velvet couch next to Marlene. He softly smiled, stroked her hair, and then his vision faded slowly to gray, and he drifted silently into the mouth of the most peaceful sleep he'd ever known.
Fucking A, man. Jesus Christ. And you said that's on Ronin Press, right?
Yeah, it was published in an issue of that, I think in 2011, sometime last year maybe. But it's also online. MySpace is all fucked now, so it'd be hard to find it there, I guess. But you can find it on Scribd.com.
Ooh.
I have a bunch of shit over there. So, yeah, amputee.
Amazed. I was going to say that I am also a fan of cantaloupes. Yeah. But I just don't see the trend. That's a difficult transition to make between cantaloupes and amputees, man. I mean, then you have to go through certain stages of personal development and in order to get to that point, I think. And it's a very interesting piece. Very interesting.
Oh, well, thank you, man. It was, you know, actually it was inspired by, because you wrote something
or you had talked about something about fucking a pillow. And, just from that, it just kind of got me into trying to write something about a pillow, and then I kind of saw a pillow as like a person, like a torso without arms or legs. And then it kind of got me into the idea of amputees. And then from there, it just kind of rolled and put it together, and yeah.
Right on.
It came out.
Right on. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read this one real quick, and then we're going to jump into our next track, which will be, I'm going to play Stars, Sleep Tonight, coming up next. But first, this is a poem called Blank Acid Murder Weapon. Actually, this was inspired by the film Beyond the Black Rainbow. Really good fucking flicks. Everybody should check that out. It's really good shit. Blank Acid Murder Weapon. Coming back from a drug-induced moment of physical and complete disintegration, the turbulent cutthroat reabsorption of your mother back into the cycle of life, where we smoke 100 daughters worth of a third eye on a black torso, wearing Reagan-era baby wigs and sticky scalps, every bit of tissue equals one code of conduct, an intrusive, invading, invigorating strain on leather ghosts, the binary seizures, a remodified bulbous.
That remodified vulvas?
Yeah.
Oh. Dude. Fuck.
Coming up next. Remodified vulvas. Not vulvos. I have a problem saying that word, man. Not Volvo. It's not the German car. It's a vulva. But, yeah. It's good stuff. This is also good stuff, actually. This is a song called Sleep Tonight. This is the Junior Boys remix. This is Stars.
Both forget all of the past and its regret. When hammer and with his stick. Black Samson, he's mean and clean and rules the scene.
My clients want to open up your area, and they're prepared to make a very generous offer to you. It can run as high as $200,000.
Black Samson can't be bought.
I want these streets clean, real clean. I want you to go home and tell your clients this neighborhood ain't for sale.
Can't do that.
You can't do that? Huh? You can't do that. That's going to open up this cement.
Black Samson can't be bluffed.
My friend, I have the resources to crush you in a matter of hours if I wanted.
He thinks he's a tough guy, that's all.
Maybe he's a tough guy.
There's one way to find out, isn't it?
Black Samson can't be beat.
I want to know his habits, his patterns.
Satan. Jesus isn't coming back. Poison your teacher's coffee. Kill your grandfather's goat. Steal your daddy's Chevrolet. Suck your boyfriend's cock. Train your hamster to eat cats. Fill the city pool with sperm. Prank call the popular kids. And lose your virginity to your favorite uncle. Masturbate with spatula. Litter pristine snow fort with bloody tampons. Take out your heart and eat it raw.
That was the Dwarves with Motherfucker. Motherfucker, I'm a motherfucker. I'm a motherfucker. Yeah, I'm a motherfucker. Yeah. Nuwamba, have you ever called elves or goats motherfucker and had negative results as part of that? Have you ever done that before?
I've never called a goat a motherfucker, but I did see somebody fucking a goat once, and you know that was a very, very unsettling experience. Mostly because like I wanted to be first, I wanted to fuck the goat, but he went and fucked the goat before I could, so I was upset about that. I called him a motherfucker.
No, you're a liar. You're a liar.
He fucked the goat before I could fuck it, and I was very upset with. People should be polite. They should share the goat pussy.
Yeah. I'm a motherfucker.
Yeah, you are. I'm going to crank call you later and fill your pool with sperm.
Yeah. That actually sounded like a Misty Rainwater Lights poem, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that was a great piece. That was fucking beautiful, man. That was beautiful. I love that.
Oh, yeah, man. Dude, I got this, like, package from Misty in the mail, and it's got, like, tons of great fucking mags in it. Like, shit from Albuquerque. Like, there's a Central Avenue magazine that I didn't even know existed around here. And she's in it, like, a bunch. And, yeah, like, I live on Central Avenue, so I was like, fuck yeah, man. There's a magazine named after the street I live on. It's fucking dope.
Well, I thought for a second you were going to say that she sent you a package full of bloody tampons. I thought you were going to say that, like, for some reason.
Yeah.
That's even cooler, though, to get magazines.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Shit. Fuck yeah. Fucking A, man. I actually got something here. I'm going to go old school, man, and break out some Henry Miller. Because I haven't read some Henry Miller in a while. And,
fuck yeah.
This is from The Cosmological Eye, which is a book of essays. And this is from An Open Letter to Surrealists Everywhere. Below the belt, all men are brothers. Man has never known solitude except in the upper regions where one is either a poet or a madman or a criminal. Today, writes Paul Eluard, the solitude of poets is breaking down. They are now men among men. They have brothers. It's unfortunately too true, and that is why the poet is becoming more and more rare. I still prefer the anarchic life. Unlike Paul Eluard, I cannot say that the word fraternization exalts me. Nor does it seem to me that this idea of brotherhood arises from a poetic conception of life. It is not at all what L'Autremont meant when he said that poetry must be made by all. The brotherhood of man is a permanent delusion common in idealists everywhere in all epochs. It is the reduction of the principle of individuation to the least common denominator of intelligibility. It is what leads the masses to identify themselves with movie stars and megalomaniacs like Hitler and Mussolini. It is what prevents them from reading and appreciating and being influenced by and creating in turn such poetry as Paul Eluard gives us. And Paul Eluard is desperately lonely that he strives with might and main to establish communication with his fellow man. I understand and subscribe to with all my heart. But when Paul Eluard goes down into the street and becomes a man, he is not making himself understood and liked for what he is, for the poet that he is, I mean. On the contrary, he is establishing communication with his fellow men by capitulation, by renunciation of his individuality, his high role. If he is accepted, it is only because he is willing to surrender those qualities which differentiate him from his fellow men and make him unsympathetic and unintelligible to them. It is not at all strange that madmen are put under lock and key and saviors crucified and prophets stoned. At any rate, one thing is certain. It is not in this way that poetry will be made by all. And that's it. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, man. So much truth in that. So much truth in that, man.
Right?
You know, especially when he's talking about how the masses identify with Hitler and Mussolini. Yeah. And, you know, yet the poet, you know. Wow, dude.
Poet is not making himself understood and liked in the street for what he is, which is the poet.
But you know, I think also, though, too, I mean, it deserves to be said in retort to that, that, you know, the masses aren't going to be able to relate to poets, because
no,
the masses are fucking idiots, you know? And there's no, like, going to be
to understand, like, you know, a piece of poetry, or to, you know, even have the inclination to read a piece of poetry mostly, you know?
And a prime example, and I wanted to bring this up, prime example is Apollo Poetry appearing on an ABC reality series right now. I remember when that guy was on 10K Poets, when he was on, like, Reverse and shit like that, and this dude is out there on ABC, like, making a mockery of poetry by participating in a fucking reality show. I actually read a review recently, and the guy says that they, I mean, he's going through the list of all the people inside the house and everything, he's talking about the bail bonds and whatnot. And at the end, he gets to, and ABC, he says this at the end of the review, ABC brings in the poets, Apollo Poetry. Please, dear God, do not let him read his poetry or recite his poetry. You know what I'm saying? And I think this fucker has set us back a couple years, man, as far as making any sort of headway getting, like, generalized respect for craft and art and what have you. I think that fucker just set us back a couple years, man.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the kind of slam sort of poets who are out there, I mean, a lot of those people just suck anyway. I mean, you know, their poetry just isn't that good, and it's just kind of like them yelling and not, you know, just making a lot of noise but not really saying anything.
Right.
And, yeah, I don't think that that's really helping. I mean, I think it's good that some of that shit's popular just in that it's at least some kind of fucking poetry that people are listening to and doing, but at the same time, yeah, I hear what you're saying. I mean, if they're going to have a fucking poet on one of these shows, I mean, first of all, nobody could understand or relate to it anyway, but at least they could bring in somebody with fucking talent, somebody interesting, I mean, you know, somebody who had something to say.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, than that. So, nah, it's sad, man. It's definitely sad, but you just got to realize, I mean, like, look at this shit, particularly America. I mean, look at the shit that sells. Look at the shit people are watching on TV. Look at the movies people are watching. Look at the music they're listening to. I mean, come on, you know? People are fucking stupid. Like, really fucking stupid.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is, man. You know?
Yeah.
Dumb motherfuckers, man. I think it's got to start somewhere. You know what I think it's got to start is the fucking school systems, man. That's, like, the first place it's got to start. I think they need to fucking completely, like, revamp American schools, make them completely different places that, you know, like, recognize students' talents and foster those talents and don't, you know, waste their time with a bunch of bullshit. And,
yeah,
you know, produce, you know, creative, you know, thinkers and, you know, people who are ready to take on the 21st century and, you know, people who can think, you know, because these schools, man, I mean, they don't do shit other than take standardized tests. And, you know, it's just, they waste their time, man. They just waste their time, students.
Yeah. Fucking hey, man. Good point, dude. Good point.
Yeah.
Excellent. Henry Miller does that shit, man. He brings out, like, I don't know. He brings out the analytical side in me, I think, a little bit. And,
that was brilliant. Brilliant piece, man. Thank you for reading that. That was quite a... What a good share.
You should get that book, man. I'm telling you. Cosmological Eye is it's one of a kind. It's good shit.
You know, I'm kind of saving Miller, you know, because I've read, like, little pieces of his stuff here and there, but I've never actually sat down and read one of his books, like, front to back. And I'm just kind of saving it, you know, at some point. I don't know when exactly, but there's going to be some point where I pick up, like, one of his books and just get down with it, you know? And I'm saving it.
Yeah. That's a fine choice, sir. Fine choice. Speaking of fine choices, though, I got the cream of the crop right here, sir. This is cream of the crop. I like to bring these guys back around on special occasions, and since this is pre-Beast weekend, I figured this would probably be a good time for it. And talking about Henry Miller... And looking into Henry Miller, I think it's important to think of Henry Miller's writing as a looking glass, sort of a place where you can really reflect. That being said, this is Little Dragon with Looking Glass, right here on Draconian Vampire Tunnel is Close to Repairs. I'm your host, DJ Frankie Flash Metro. We'll be right back.
tarantula's son, Rainbow of Skittles.
That was Little Dragon. Excuse me, Little Dragon. Not Little Dragon, but Little Dragon with Looking Glass. Did you hear the prince in that, Nwamba? Did you hear the...
I did. You know what? I was actually just about to say something about that. I felt some prints in that. Did he write that?
No. Mm-mm. No.
He's written a lot of songs for other people.
Yeah, that's true. He wrote songs for Lisa E, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And the Bangles.
Mm-hmm.
The Bangles.
Yeah. He also wrote some songs for some more contemporary artists who else? He did a performance with Gnarled Sparkly that's off the chain. I saw that shit.
Oh.
Yeah. It's fucking dope, man. But no, Little Dragon, man, and they actually list Prince as one of their influences. So I'm glad they at least give him credit. But yeah, and that's the one song I think that you can really hear it. I don't know. Maybe a little Morris Day. Mm-hmm. A little bit of the Morris Day in the Time, too, you know?
Yeah, I could hear that.
Yeah. Hey, man, I might have to bring him around sometime, man. Bring Morris Day around.
He should.
Good idea. What about you, man? You got one last thing to lead us out with? Or?
You know what? Why not, man? I'll go a little bit old school, too. And I'm gonna read one I also did on MySpace a while back. And it's also been floating around on Scribe. It's based on a true story, actually. It's a very personal piece. It's called I Shoved the Tampon Up My Ass. I'd always been interested to discover what would happen if I shoved a tampon up my ass. So the other night, after getting really drunk, I decided to Fortunately, I didn't have to make an embarrassing trip to the store to buy any tampons because my ex-girlfriend left a box of them over at my apartment, and I keep them in my medicine cabinet as sort of a reminder of her and the times we had together. Anyways, after finishing my beer, I went into the bathroom, pulled down my SpongeBob pajama bottoms, took out a tampon, and pushed it up my ass with a single hard thrust. It felt a bit weird, and nothing crazy happened, but as I looked at the box and read a warning about toxic shock syndrome, I became concerned my anus might get electrocuted or catch on fire or something. So I reached back into my butt to pull the tampon out. However, in my drunken state, seems I'd put it in the wrong way, string side first. I fumbled around with my fingers in my ass, trying to pull it out, but couldn't and wasn't sure what to do. Should I ask my next-door neighbor for help? I don't know. That really is asking a lot more than just having him jumpstart my car battery. The whole incident reminded me of a girl I knew back in high school who was masturbating with a hot dog and had it break and get stuck in her vagina. She had to go to the hospital to have it removed. I thought about looking her up on Facebook and requesting her advice, but there wasn't time for that now. I called 911, told them what happened, and asked for an ambulance to come get me, as I was in no condition to drive, but they just hung up on me, thinking it was a prank call. Then I hobbled out to the street and attempted to walk to the hospital, though it was tough, because having a tampon stuck up your ass really does inhibit your range of motion. So I decided to hitchhike, stuck out my thumb, and fortunately a strange car pulled up and its driver rolled down his window. The car was a tricked out hearse, painted fire engine red with bling bling, shiny spinning rims, hydraulics, and loud booming bass. Its driver was a dwarf wearing a army fatigues. He yelled out to me in Portuguese to jump in, and so I did, and he drove me to the hospital at breakneck speed, British style, on the wrong side of the road, occasionally playing chicken with other cars, and he even rode up on the sidewalk a couple times and ran over a few meter maids and pizza delivery men. It was as if we were in the video game Grand Theft Auto. He got me to the hospital quick, slapped me high five, and I limped out into the emergency room. The nurse at the front desk was taking bong hits from a medical device and didn't seem to be surprised by my story. She also didn't believe that it was a tampon in my ass and insinuated that I'd been gerbling and made thinly visits to Richard Gere. She pointed me to the waiting room, but before my foot in that direction, I started seeing trails. My vision got blurry. My head started spinning, and my shoes suddenly grew large, ice skating. The floor turned to ice, and I began skating and pirouetting like a figure skater or a Canadian into the direction of a large, antenna-shaped operating room. Upon entering the room, a doctor who looked and talked like Borat burst out of a large freezer sitting in the back of the room, grabbed me by the arms, spun me around, brandishing pliers, and yanked down my pajamas and probed my anus with the pliers and used them to pull out the tampon. It was surprisingly painless, and I wanted to thank him, but the second I turned around, he instantly vanished into thin air. I skated back out to the front desk to settle up the bill, and the nurse told me my insurance didn't cover this sort of procedure. Presented me with a bill for $10,795.63 and chastised me for forcing feminine hygiene products and small furry animals up my ass. Upon exiting the hospital, the blaze from my shoes disintegrated, and I saw the hearse side waiting for me. I stepped into the car and noticed he had midget porn playing on a video screen mounted on his dashboard. He asked me in Portuguese if I'd ever fucked a midget. I told him I hadn't, but probably would under the right circumstances. Just to say I did. And that's all of that.
Fucking A, man. Jesus Christ. That's about it, man. That's all. I think we should end on that note. On that note.
Yeah.
Definitely should end on that note.
Yeah. Why not? Thank you for having me on, man. It's been fun. I had a really good time. Really some cool songs. And I had fun reading. Enjoyed the reads. You guys did as well. It was fun, man. And fucking go rock it up in San Fran, dude. Go fucking rock it. Punch some people in the face and read poetry and fucking break some glasses and fucking have a good time, man.
Right on, man. Will do. Thank you very much for coming by, sir. I appreciate the fuck out of it. My boy, Nuamba Flamingo, everybody, please go to the Meth Lab, www.methlab.blogspot.com. Check us out. Got some great stuff. And, of course, go to Literary Underground. You guys know where to go. And probably won't catch you guys. I don't know if we'll catch you guys next week or not. May not. I'm probably going to be recuperating. It's going to be a long week. But I will see you motherfuckers in the Bay Area. Please come out. Beast Crawl, Zyfest 2012. Fucking A. Peace.